2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Amen, amen. You know, I am the outreach director for Word of Life Church. For those of you who might be new and don't already know that. And I always appreciate the opportunity. I'm very grateful to Pastor Joel for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you tonight. And he knows as well as I do that every time I get an opportunity to plug outreach, I'm going to do it. Amen. I'm going to recruit, solicit, advertise, promote, whatever. but anyway, we some time ago purchased a building. Pastor Joel has talked about it on several occasions. It's right there in the heart of, I'll say heart of downtown. It's kind of at the right there at near downtown, the border of downtown and West Jackson, kind of the heart of Jackson. I'll just say it like that. Actually, it is. And the building sits on a corner. Monument turns into Rose Street. So Rose and Monument are the same streets. I have to explain that. And then Capitol Street is the cross street. This building is a unique building. It's a kind of weird shaped building. It's kind of a triangle with the head chipped off of it, cut off of it. It's a weird shaped building. It's only got one 45 degree angle corner. Everything else is just kind of weird. And it's been there for a very long time. We looked at it. I went to the archives building, just curious, wanted to see what it used to be. And I found out that in 1945, the building was purchased by First National Bank, and they made it a bank. Before that, I found out that it was McGee Laundry Service, as a matter of fact. And so the building has been there for right around 80 years. And there's been a couple of different things that we know about. In addition to the two businesses that I mentioned, it was also at some point a real estate office, and then at some other point, some guy ran a tax business out of it. And until now, it has been basically overlooked. I mean, an 80-year-old building in that part of town, you got a lot of abandoned buildings, a lot of abandoned homes and businesses. And one lady said, she said, you know, that was the ugliest building I ever saw in my life. And I really never thought that it would ever amount to anything. And so, you know, basically, even though it sits in a very unique place, and unique in the sense that it's the perfect place for what God has planned for it. And even though it's always been shaped that way and da-da-da-da, it's never received any attention. It's just been there. As a matter of fact, if it got attention, it was negative attention. And what amazes me is that now nobody passes by that place. I mean, it's right on the intersection without asking, what is that building? What's it going to be? That's amazing. And the woman who thought it was the ugliest building in Jackson said, it is absolutely beautiful. And so over the past 5 months or so, we've been renovating the building, and we're just days from, I got one window that needs to be put in and is ordered, so we're waiting on it to get in, and then we can get the certificate of occupancy and that kind of thing, and then we'll let you know we're going to open it up. But the neat thing about it is for 5 months we've been renovating the building. And when you purchase a building, you can't go into a building and just start renovating until you purchase it, you acquire it. And so we've purchased the building. We've gone in, and before you can start renovation, you got to do some demolition. And we spent quite a bit of time tearing down some stuff and tearing out some stuff and removing some stuff and just all kind of those kinds of things. And a lot of stuff came out of the building. I mean, with the walls, we tore the plaster off the original brick walls. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Bear with me. And there, underneath the plaster, there were some walls that were patched. And they weren't patched well because the people knew that they were going to put some plaster over them. And so when you took the plaster off, there were bad areas in the walls that had to be repaired. The carpet was needed to go. It was bad. It had been there a while. There were some window sills that needed to come out. There were some ceilings that had to be removed. There was some ductwork. The old ductwork had to be removed. A number of things. And all of these things have been replaced. There's new ductwork and new electrical outlets and a new electrical system, all those things. It's a new building. And the exterior is absolutely amazing. The building upstairs, very few people knew it was a two-story building because the windows upstairs were covered with corrugated metal. How do you say that? Corrugated metal. And so it was blocked out, and which was weird because the second story is actually, it isn't larger than the first floor, but it appears to be that way because of all the metal, and it drops down below the windows. I won't get into that. But and so when we cut the holes in the metal, people realized there was a second floor. But better than that, they saw light and life in the building. So when the lights come on, it's like now when the building is there and it's always alive. God took something that was absolutely ugly, and he completely transformed it to where now where people said, man, that's an eyesore. That's an awful looking building. Now they say, wow. And it's so neat to watch the light turn red and to watch the subcontractors who know nothing about the building and they're standing out there working on the building, and everybody who stops at the light is saying, what's the building going to be? And they say, I don't know, what's the building going to be? And then I tell them, it's going to be an outreach center. It's going to be an outreach center. And they go all day long. We're excited about the building, but they're more excited than we are. The churches and all of the businesses in the community, that's all they're talking about. And during this period, while I'm there and I'm marveling at the transformation of the building, God starts to speak to my heart about what I want to speak to you about tonight. God can take something that's absolutely worthless by the world standards. Something that has a leaky roof, holes in the walls, carpet that needs to be replaced, light that's covered up, rooms that are dark. He can absolutely give life to it. Not only can he do it, but he wants to do it. And he wants to do it in the life of every person on this earth. Every one of us. For the unbeliever, even though he desires to do it, he can't do it until he acquires it. And what I mean by that, until that individual invites him into their lives. He doesn't have to purchase it. He's already paid the price, the blood of Jesus. But the unbeliever has to say yes to Jesus, then he becomes God's possession, and then God comes into his heart, comes into his heart, and then he starts the process of renovating that individual. Now, when he comes into his heart, of course, that man, his spirit is made new immediately. He becomes a brand new creature, one that never existed before. Brand new. But man is a three-part being. He's a spirit who possesses a soul and lives in a body. And when man is born again, his spirit is born again, is made brand new. But his body is not. It's the same old body. If he wore size 9 shoes before he got saved, when he gets saved, he still wears a size 9 shoe. If he had wore a size 10 ring on his finger, he still wears a size 10 ring on his finger. And not only that, but the body still wants to do all the stuff it's always done. It doesn't want to change. It wants to stay just like it is. It wants to do all the things that it used to do. And the body has to be transformed. Otherwise, it'll conform to the world. Now, the mind, on the other hand, man is a spirit, he possesses a soul, he lives in a body. The soul is made up of his mind, will, and emotions, sensibilities, and will. Now, his mind has to be renewed with the Word of God on a daily basis. And if his mind is renewed with the Word of God, renewed by the Word of God, if he continually feeds the Word of God into his mind, reading, meditating on the Word of God, then his mind will cause his body to come in line with the Spirit, which is already in line with the Word of God, because it is one with God when he receives Jesus Christ in his heart. And so there is a, even though God wants to do this to every, in the life of every believer, there is a God side and there's a man side. There's a part that God does and there's a part that we're supposed to do. We have to do. If we're going to live the kind of life that God intends for us. Just because you say yes to Jesus and just because you go to church every Sunday, just because you read your Bible periodically, just because you pray, doesn't automatically guarantee that you're going to live this kind of a life, the kind of life God intends for you. God's life for you is a good life. It is. I'm telling you, it is. And but like I said, there's a God side and there's a man side, and God has taken care of his part. I mean, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you don't believe it, look over in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it'll tell you. As a matter of fact, I love reading that passage of Scripture because that's my last will and testament. That's my contract. I like to remind myself that God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He chose me from the foundation of the world that I should be holy without blame before him in love. He predestinated me to the adoption of the Son by Jesus Christ to himself. He filled me with the knowledge of his will. He is abounded towards me in wisdom and all spiritual understanding, or all natural understanding, all prudence. Sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. Glory to God. I like to remind myself of who I am in Christ. And if I don't put myself in remembrance of it, then I might very well, fall into that same trap that a lot of us fall into when we don't renew our minds with the Word of God. We should do it continually. We should remind ourselves of what God has done for us. Glory to God. God is a good Father. He's got a good life for us. Amen. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everybody say new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. One translation says, regarding old things passing away and behold, all things becoming new, says his old life has disappeared and everything has become new about him. The him is the real man, the spirit man. Everything has become new. And God had has a newness of life, or a better life, for those who will submit to his way. A believer has a choice. He can live in the image that God created him in. He can act like he's saved and act like his father, God. Or he can act like the world. Well, what do you mean, Brother Tommy? Well, he's got that choice. And for the individual who will live like Christ lives in him, he'll enjoy the standard of life, the quality of life that God has for him. Now, I asked myself this question. I said, well, actually, I didn't ask myself. I asked the Lord. I constantly want to know why people, the church, people who, why Christians, a lot of Christians live defeated lives. I know God is a good father. I know he has a good plan for us. I know that he's purposed to give us his best and for us to live in his best. And so if that be the truth and that be the case, why is it that so many people are struggling? And I'm not talking about unbelievers, because we know why they're struggling. They're walking in darkness. Why? And I can't imagine God not being true to his word. I just can't imagine it. I know he is. And finally, of course, in looking in scripture, and pastors preached on it, you know, we all have choices. There are paths. And when the Bible says that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And here's where we miss it sometimes, I believe. When we minister to people, we say that when God comes into your life, he takes all that stuff out of your life. The Bible tells us that when God comes into your life, then he starts to lead you by his Spirit. He starts to show you the stuff that needs to be removed, but he leaves it up to you to do it. Now, we were led to buy that building. And the building belongs to God. I mean, we purchased it in Word of Life Church's name is on it, but it belongs to God. Absolutely. And I have seen over the last couple of months how when God takes possession of something, how beautiful and how amazing and how easy it is for that thing to bring him glory. And even though we purchased the building, even though, you know, he gave us the building, he gave us the resources to get it, he gave us the vision for it, he left it up to us to do what needed to be done. There were walls that needed to be repaired, but if we hadn't repaired them, they wouldn't have gotten repaired. There were things that needed to come out of the building that didn't work, but if we had not done it, it wouldn't have gotten done. The building would have belonged to God, but it would have been a useless building. You understand what I'm saying? We could have gone into the building and used it with air that didn't work right, or windows that, you know, that were broken and that kind of thing. But God gave us that, and he entrusted to us the responsibility to make it look like it belonged to him. Amen. To make it a praise for his glory. Well, the Bible tells us that we're his building. We are. You are. I am. Every person who's ever accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord, we're his building. And we are stewards of that building. We belong to him, but we are the stewards of this building. And so we have a responsibility to make sure that our buildings are to his praise and his glory. Most Christians want to be blessed by God. They want to experience, walk in the blessings of God. But some of them have gotten their foot, one foot in a desire to be blessed by God and another foot in the desire to live like the world and expect for everything that God has planned and prepared for them to work just like he has it planned and prepared for them. But we as the body of Christ and made in God's image and likeness have a responsibility to make sure that we are good stewards of this body and we don't take it anywhere, just anywhere, and we don't do to it just anything, and we don't give it to just anybody, and we don't put just anything on it, and we don't treat it just any kind of way. Amen. God wants, he designed for you, his building, to be a praise in the earth. People should look at me, and they should look at you, and they should say, there is something so different about this man. Something so different about this woman. There's just a, I don't know how to, there's a glow, there's something that there's always a smile on his face, always a smile on her face. And even though he has to deal with things come up, he just knows how to handle it. There's a confidence on the inside of him. He obviously trusts God or something.
Yes, he does. That's right.
What is it about you? Why are you so different? Why is it you don't complain like everybody else that the economy is all jacked up? Why is it that you don't get all upset when the boss goes off on you? See, our lives are so much bigger than us. That building is so much bigger than us. There are people who God has called that building to. There are people who God has called your building to. There's somebody's life who he wants to impact just like he impacted your life years ago. God has such a wonderful plan for his children. And the church is, before Jesus comes back, the Bible says he's coming back for a glorious church. We're going to be glorious. We're going to be glorious now. We're going to be glorious later. Why don't we just be glorious now? Why don't we just go ahead and decide right now to live in all the fullness of God right now? Amen. Why don't we make the right choice? Why don't we just choose Jesus over whatever else? Why not? Why don't we choose to look like Jesus? I mean, we are the body. He's the head, but we're the body. Why don't we choose to act like Jesus? Well, Brother Tommy, what are you talking about, act like Jesus? You can't act like Jesus. Yes, you can. Amen. Paul said, as you have received Christ, so walk in him. Amen. We are his building. We are his building. So Paul tells us that as our building, there are some things that we've got to do. There are some things we have to put off. There are some things we have to put on. There are some things that we don't need to wear. There are some things we don't need to allow into our lives. There are some things we don't need to say. There are some things we don't need to do. There are some places we don't need to go. Creflo Dollar said something one time that just rocked my world. He said, when the Spirit of God comes to live in you, He doesn't leave. I was a young man at the time struggling with being a young single man. And he said, so when you go into the nightclub, you take the Holy Spirit with you. And when you go into, this is, he was preaching this years ago, he said, when you go into somebody else's, when you go into some woman's bedroom, you take the Holy Ghost with you. When you go to the, wherever you go, he says, you take the Holy Spirit with you. He says, you ought to be mindful of the fact that the presence of God lives, abides in you. You are a host of the Holy Ghost. Now, everybody don't deal with, you know, sexual sins and all that kind of stuff. But there are other things like little white lies and cheating on your taxes. Not being totally honest because you think you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Sin is sin. Amen. Everything that we do as believers, as Christians, we represent Christ. Everything we do, we represent Him. And the more... Anyway, let me move right on. All right, so... Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, and I want to read from a couple different translations. So you can follow me if you want to, but you won't be able to follow me because I'm using three or four different translations. I like this because it puts it into plain English. It says, let me say this then. This is Paul talking, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, speaking for the Lord, do not continue to live such purposeless lives as the Gentiles or unbelievers live. Their minds are clouded with darkness. They are strangers to the life that is in God because ignorance prevails among them because of the insensibility of their normal nature. Now, Paul is talking to believers. But far different is the lesson that you learn from Christ. At least if you have really become acquainted with Him and been instructed in Him, that you put off concerning the former conversation. Now, Paul said you have to put off former conversations or the former conversation, the former behavior, the old man whose way is destruction following the desires which deceives. In other words, he says, if you've been made a new man in Christ, then your old behavior ought to be a thing of the past. It ought to be something that you put off. He says, because it only deceives you. It only takes you deeper into the enemy's territory. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The very spirit of your mind must be constantly renewed. And you must put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, which was created to resemble God with righteousness and holiness springing from the truth, the Word of God. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And God sees us in light of what He created us to be, no matter where we are. He sees us in the light of who He created us to be because He looks at us through Jesus Christ. He don't look at you. He looks at you through Christ. You look like Christ to Him if you're in Christ. And he says, I know what those plans are. I know the plans I have for you, he says. Or one translation said, the thoughts I think of. God is thinking about you. And those thoughts are not, and those plans are not to give you evil. So don't ever think that evil or anything that's going wrong in your life comes from God. It does not. God gives good gifts. He says to give you a hope and a future and an expected end. He says, my plans for you are good plans. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, listen, this is what I want you to see. He says, you are a chosen generation. I've chosen you. From the foundation of the world, 80 years ago, that building, over 80 years ago, that building was built. And since then, there's been several different things. But right now, it is going to be an outreach, something. It's going to be a vehicle through which God can reach people. God knew that over 80 years ago before it was ever built that ultimately he would use it for what he's going to use it for now. And that is for his glory. It's up to us to do. But listen, it is for his glory. God knew before you were born that he would have a plan for your life and that you would be to his glory. He would purpose that you would be a priest, a king, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul says, all things are of God who has reconciled us unto himself, not just reconciled us to himself, but also given unto us, to you and to you, the ministry of reconciliation. He says to proclaim, or to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling us unto himself. What Christ did was God's plan for you. God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, but he also loved somebody else so much who's not received Christ as his Lord and Savior that he wants you to tell him that. He wants your life to reflect what he purposed it to be so that somebody can say there's something so different about this man, this woman. I've got to ask questions. What is it about you? And you say, I belong to God. I've been bought with a price. I'm a Christian because I'm a part of the body of Christ. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of God, that your body is a temple of God? Don't you know that? He said, don't you know that you are not your own? You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. Your body is not your own. You've been bought with a price. And then Paul gives us some warnings or some instructions concerning what we should and should not do with our bodies. Everything from being envious and having strife to sexual sins to walking out of love. He says, listen, God wants you to walk in all the fullness of what he purposed for your life, but what he purposed you to be. He wants you to run your race and finish your course. He wants you to be filled with life and joy and peace. And this is how to do it. Choose life. Lay hold on eternal life. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The Bible tells us in Peter, he says, the devil is as a roaring lion. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The devil is not your friend. As a roaring lion, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's not a lion. He's as a roaring lion. He's a lion, but he's not a lion. His purpose in life is to destroy God's plan for your life. He cannot destroy God's plan, so he purposes to destroy you any way he can. God has a plan. Now, when Paul says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, and when he starts talking about, make sure that you honor your body and that you honor the word of God, give yourself to the word of God. He's positioned. He's actually doing two things. He wants to make sure that you run that we run our race, that we finish our course. But he knows, Paul knows, the Holy Spirit knows, and Paul is being led by the Holy Ghost. He knows that if you don't resist sin, you won't resist sickness. Because sin and sickness are both from the same source. Sin is disobedience. Whatever disobedience is, whatever the Word of God says, if you disobey the Word of God, whatever is walking out of love, doing something you ain't got no business doing, whatever it is, if you're walking in disobedience, you're walking in sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if you will confess your sins to Him, to God, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, to restore you to fellowship with Him so that you can walk in the fullness of this life that He's planned for you. Fellowship is the key. We've been bought with a price. A lot of people have made suggestions about what that building should be. People have come by and said, oh, this would make such a nice restaurant. One guy stopped by and said, hey, man, it's going to be a club. I said no before I thought about it. I really should have said, yes, this is going to be a club. Why don't you come back as soon as we open up? It's not going to be a nightclub. There's going to be a day club. It is going to be a club. And in a sense, it's going to be a restaurant because it's going to feed people. And somebody stopped by and they said, is it going to be something for the elderly people? And I said, yes. Is it going to be for the children? Yes, it is. God is going to do something. And I keep making reference to the building because it just fits into the message tonight. But God's plan is bigger than the building. I don't want you to think that building is only as good as God's plan for it. God is going to change lives in that community and ultimately throughout Jackson. And the neat thing about it is people are excited about our being there. They're excited about the building. They're excited to know what it is. They're excited about what we're going to do. That's God's doing. People should be excited about our lives. I'm excited about my life. I'm excited about the fact that God has done so many amazing things in my life. And He's not finished yet. And I constantly remind myself that He's got a plan for my life and it's bigger than me, so I'm not going anywhere until I've run my race and finished my course. And I say that boldly.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And I say it in the sense that I guard my life.
That's right.
As much as possible. I'm not perfect. But like Paul, I keep my body under because it's my responsibility to do that. I bring it into subjection, lest that after I've preached, I myself become a castaway. Each one of us have that responsibility because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, and I love my owner. God has a plan for you. I got several scriptures and plan on going a mostly different direction, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit is smarter than I am. Amen.
Amen.
I want to challenge you tonight to really commit yourself to the plan of God for your life. Open up the Word of God. Listen. Open up your heart. And God will... guide you. He'll show you exactly what it is he has planned for you. And as you, Pastor says, as you retire from your way and submit to his, I'm telling you, he'll take you from glory to glory to glory to glory. And it'll be so easy because it's not your doing, it's his. Why? Because you belong to him. And he's taking full responsibility for you. And he's going to see to it that you get exactly where you're supposed to be in the timing that you're supposed to be there. And you're going to be a praise in the earth where he'll receive the glory for it and the honor for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tolerating me tonight. All heads bowed. Let's pray.